Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to take you back some 30 years ago, probably a little later than that. Somewhere along the line, somebody thought it'd be a good idea if I started preaching. It wasn't me. I still remember my first sermon. It was a dialogue sermon. And we didn't tell anybody in the congregation. It was just kind of a little secret between pastor and I. So when it came time to preach, we were up in the nave and we pulled two chairs together and I sat down. And of course, everybody had smiles on their face because they knew at the very least it was going to be very interesting. And it was. And it was over time, especially with that pastor, Pastor Jeff Johnson, where I learned probably the bulk of how I understand to prepare for a sermon. And there was a lot of hours involved in the interaction, going back and forth with the lectionary for the day, the gospel, the times, the intent. And all of that studying and all of that preparation, and out of it all, I still used to get so nervous my teeth would chatter. I used to kid people that I would, between my all, I'd stick a pillow between my legs so people in church couldn't hear my knees banging together. And I thought, what is ever going to make this go away? It's not supposed to be easy, but what's going to make it easier? So as time went on, the framework in my head, how I do this, is much like building a house. Okay, you build the walls, you build the structure. You might compartmentalize by the rooms, you furnish it, you build a sermon from the ground up. And yet my anxiety level didn't decrease. So I thought, how does this get easier? How does this get better? And I realized that I lacked the foundation, like any good house. I lacked the foundation. I lacked an understanding of what that was. And I went for quite some time struggling with where that begins. What's the foundation where it all begins from, regardless of what the text is? That was my goal, was to find that. And I did. And I'd like to tell you that it was in the Bible. I'd like to tell you that it was part of some piece of scripture that I hadn't read yet, but it wasn't. It came from Hollywood, I got to admit. My favorite movies, one which I'm sure many of you have seen, was Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Last Crusade. In the movie, Indiana Jones is trying to find his father, and in pursuit of his father, he's also in pursuit of the cup of Christ. Yet there are other people in that same race, and yet there are other people that are trying to protect the cup from not being found. Well, confronted by one of those people that were looking to protect the cup, Indiana Jones was asked the simple question, why do you seek the cup of Christ? Is it for His glory or for yours? And I never forgot that question from that day forward. Because who was I to be asked to stand here? Who was I to be asked to lead worship when pastor wasn't there? Who was I? What was it all about? Why was it for? And yet that one question just changed just a little bit, gave me that foundation and understanding, because it's a question that every single sermon has started with for 25 years. And that's a question to me, to myself, just as it was asked. Bill, why are you up here? Is it for God's greater glory or for yours? And I made myself a promise that if it was not for God's greater glory, that there was no in-between, there was no gray area, this answer was black and white. And that if it ever strayed from the light to the dark, that I'd have to step back and reevaluate why it is I'm doing what I'm doing. A question that I asked myself this morning. Why are you here? Is it for God's greater glory or for your own? It was sometime after I came to that conclusion and that foundation question that I realized that it's not a question in only preparing for worship. It's not a question to ask oneself only preparing a sermon, but it's a question to ask oneself as we start each day God gives us. For who do we live? For who do we rise? Is it for ourselves? Is it for flesh? Where in the end we reap only corruption and death, or it is for the Spirit where we reap eternal life. Paul speaks very strongly to why he rises in the morning and what each and everything he does is for. It is for the cross of Christ, the one thing he will boast for. Jesus finds not 12 but 70 disciples to send out that he has confidence in. Sends them out in pairs, gives them instruction. Proclaim and let people know that the kingdom of God has come near. And he says, proclaim that even in the towns that reject you, because you are laborers for the kingdom of God. And when they come back all excited and say, Lord, look what we did. He said, don't get too full of yourself here. Okay? It's great. But remember, it's not what you built up for yourself, it's what you built up in heaven for the greater glory of God. So over time, I have continued to ask that question. I don't always remember to ask it. It's not a question you can ask someone else. Asking someone else can put you in a very, very touchy situation because someone else confronted with this question can lead to a situation of questioning one's faith, questioning one's commitment. So it's not a question that I look out to ask you. That's a question that I ask myself and myself alone. But yet it's a question that I pose to you to ask yourself each and every day. Who do we rise for? Who do we live for? Who do we laugh for? Who do we love for? Who do we work for and give for? Do we do these things for our greater glory or for the glory of God? I can't say that every day I started with that prayer worked out the way I wanted it to, so I'm not making you any promises. But it's a good place to start. Just in preparing for worship, just in preparing for a sermon, it gives you that rock-solid foundation to face each and every day that in everything you do, you hopefully do for the glory of God. May you all struggle with that question. May it help guide your day. Amen.